Welcome to Switzerland in Sound, produced and presented by Bob Zanotti.
And welcome to Switzerland in Sound. This is Bob Zanotti. It's my pleasure today to be in Switzerland's largest canton or state. It's called Graubünden, or the Grissens, it's also known as, in southeastern Switzerland. And we are in a very, very special place, Klosters, K-L-O-S-T-E-R-S. The place is special. It's a hotel called the Walsenhof, which is the place to meet very interesting people in town. And the person I'm speaking with is a very special individual, too. He's Bruno Sprecher. Bruno is a native son of Klosters. He is a mountain guide and ski instructor. But what makes Bruno rather special as a ski instructor is he is the personal ski instructor to one of Klosters' most famous regular visitors, Prince Charles of the British Royal Family. And we're going to find out a little bit about that later on. Bruno, welcome to Switzerland in Sound. Let's be a little bit more specific about the geography now. Where are we on the map, more or less?
We're about 120 kilometers east of Zurich. It takes you about 2 hours to drive to Klosters. And Klosters is the last village in the valley of the Prättigau, just before you go up to Davos. And Klosters, yes, like you said, it's well known as a ski resort, I'm sure, because of Prince of Wales, the royal family, and also well known for tourism in the summer. And it's a great place to go and spend holiday.
Yeah, you've got something for everybody and all the year. This is a really all-around destination, isn't it? When did tourism come to Klosters?
The first hotels was built between 1870 to 1880, and the first tourists come up to Klosters Davos about 1905, beginning there. And they used to walk up to the Prsenhütte, which is the center, actually, of the ski area.
The Prsen is a famous run, isn't it, for this area?
Yes, the Prsen is very famous because we have the longest, probably the longest run in Europe. From the Gipfel down to Kublis is about 11 kilometers long.
It's a long ski run. You better be in good condition for that one. Or make a lot of stops.
You have a few nice places between where you get a coffee schnapps on the way down if you need one. But, you know, it is really nice runs. And what Klosters is very famous. To me, it's one of the very best off-piste skiing. That means skiing on the unmarked runs, where you have to be very careful, of course. You should take an instructor or a mountain guide.
Where people get into trouble with avalanches sometimes. But of course, that's your job. You take these people where it's safe.
That's right. And but I really recommend to people, if they go off-piste, to get information about the avalanche danger and take a guide or an instructor. But it is well known here, and it's fantastic, really is.
Well, you've been celebrating 100 years of winter sports in Klosters. This is a very big event. In fact, there's always something going on in this place. Just as we're here now and speaking, there's even a major rally of old vintage cars. You see them going through town, and there are a lot of celebrations. You find politicians have been coming into town. But let's talk about Prince Charles for a moment. How long have you been his ski instructor?
I ski with him 14 years now, and we have a great time together.
Is he a good skier?
Yes, he's a pretty good skier. He could be better, of course, if he would spend a bit more time in Klosters. But anyhow, you know, he's a very busy person, so he can only ski about 10 days a year. But his boys are really good skiers.
He comes with the boys?
Yes, they do, and they all like to go off the piste into the deep snow, where we be away from the reporters and photography, and, you know, we like to have it quiet and peaceful.
That's very important. Here you have a very large number of very well-known VIPs, people in the international show business, you know, people from all kinds of important positions in life, yet you don't notice they're here. They keep a very low profile. I think they want it that way, and you respect that.
I think that's one reason they come to closers, because we try to leave them alone, not make too much fuss about them. And a lot of them, they, like you say, very important people, but they like to not be seen. And that's why they come to closers, because we leave them alone as much as we can.
But they go to the restaurants, they're in the hotels, they walk the streets, and so you never know who you're possibly going to see. I guess skiing is the king of the winter sports in closers, but what else is available?
Ski is number one in the winter. Then we have a wonderful cross-country course, most beautiful hiking you can do here, snowshoes walking, paragliding, hang gliding.
Even in the winter?
Oh, yes, you name it, curling.
How is the nightlife here? I mean, I see a lot of young people. You see people of all ages in closers. It seems to be a resort for everybody. But is there nightlife too?
Yes, of course we have nightlife. But nightlife in closers is a little bit slower than our neighbor town, Davos. But we have bars and everything, and lots of things goes on. But it's not like Ischgl.
You know, in Austria, yeah.
In Austria, we have it a little bit quieter here. And I think that's also one reason those very, you know, famous people come to closers.
They need a break. They need a time out.
Yes, it's not really noisy. A lot of private parties goes on. Uh-huh. What we do have nice restaurants up in the mountains where once in a while we have really good parties, and we have...
They get a little wild, do they?
Yes, and then after in the evening we go up to the Gotchna and have a nice dinner up there, and then we ski down with the flashlights or torches, mm-hmm. hundreds of people, and on the way down we stop once or twice in those little restaurants, and who knows when we come back to town. It could be 12, it could be next morning, who knows?
You got to keep warm on the way down.
Yes, that's right. No, we have, of course, we have a nightlife here. But like I say, it's not quite Ischgl or something.
Yeah. It's not a loud glitter resort in that respect.
No.
Of course, we talk a lot about the prominent people and the VIPs and all, but it would be wrong to give the impression that Closters is only a place for them. I mean, you find absolutely normal, ordinary, everyday people here.
Absolutely. We have hotels with great values. You know, you can have breakfast and dinner, and you stay around about 100 francs. And we have little pensions where, you know, people stay, they have to watch the money a bit more careful. Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely sure. Closters is not just for the rich and famous.
I know there are package deals and special offers made, so it would be a good idea to check the website, www.closters.ch. A lot of smells in the air now, very pleasant smells of well-cooked food. It's time to talk about food, and we have someone who's going to tell us something about the local specialties. She's Gabi Bolliger, who's the owner of the Walsenhof. Mrs. Bolliger, I was just mentioning to Bruno Sprecher here the lovely smells coming through the hotel in the adjoining restaurant. And that reminds us that, of course, the Prättigau, this part of the canton of Graubünden, is very well known for food specialities. What are some of the most important or prominent ones?
We have, our specialty is a Prättigau Hochzeitsuppe.
A wedding soup.
It's called a wedding soup, but it's not only for wedding, it's for all festivities, if birthday or Christmas or... And it is actually, it's a consommé, it's a clear soup with tiny little pieces of vegetable and a lard in it. And afterwards you put cream and egg, you make a legieren, you'd say, with cream and egg, you put in this...
To richen it.
To richen it and to make it more special. Mm-hmm. So that's the Prättigau Hochzeitsuppe. Mm-hmm. Then otherwise we serve the Prättigau Krutkräpfle, which is a kind of ravioli with herbs and spinach in it. In summer you put some of the chanterelle, the little yellow mushrooms, with it. Mm-hmm. When the mushroom time is here, when the mushrooms grow. This is also a big speciality. Sometimes they make kapunz, which we don't serve so much because it's rather heavy. And then, of course, we have the lamb.
Kaponza, it's like a knödel or something,
like
isn't it? Like or gnocchi, I guess.
Like a gnocchi, but yeah, much richer. Yeah. It's like a knödel, and then you put it in a leaf of mangold. This is the kaponza. Then, of course, we have the lamb here. We have the venison here. When the time is of the hunt, which is in September, we do a polenta.
Polenta is very well known here, isn't it?
Also, a dish of the Prättigau. Mm-hmm. And we do the polenta, we make it a little creamier, put a little cheese on it and gratinate it. And then, of course, the venison I mentioned already.
And you have some excellent wines in Canton Graubünden.
Excellent wines, yeah. They are one of the best wines in Switzerland now.
And you must see people from all over the world here, all kinds of very well-known people, too.
That's the interesting thing of our job. You get to meet people which...
You never know who's coming through the door.
Yeah, you never know who's coming through the door. You know, you have all the politicians, you have the businessmen, you have kings, you have whatever, you know.
Literally, you get everybody.
Every kind. You have actors, you have, you know, singers, you have... Yeah.
And Prince Charles stays here when he's in town.
Stays here, yes. This is quite known, so I can tell that he's been staying here for many years now, yeah.
Well, Gabi Bolliger, the owner of the Walsithof here in Klosters, thank you very much indeed. And I'll let you get back to your guests.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you indeed. Thank you very much. Well, Bruno, that's about it. We could keep going here for a long time,
sure.
But it's you have to get on as well. You have other people to meet and other commitments. We've been talking about a resort which is so well known all over, but yet it is it's a destination which has preserved its character as a traditional Graubünden village. It hasn't become spoiled. It's modern, but it still has that native character, and it's almost a timeless place. I mean, you grew up here, you know it. I guess you'd agree with that.
100% I would agree. And that's why they all come back year after year after year. And because we leave them alone, we try our best to make them a second home. And that's why they come back every year.
Bruno Sprecher, who is... Prince Charles' personal ski teacher when Prince Charles is in. I think it's March every year he comes to town as a rule, doesn't he?
Pretty sure always March, yes.
A native son of Klosters, the place we've been visiting in the canton of Graubünden or Grissens in southeastern Switzerland. It's been a pleasure to talk to you, and thank you very much for telling us about your town, Klosters.
Hi, this is Bob Zanotti. Do you miss Swiss Radio International? If so, I invite you to visit my website, SwitzerlandInSound.com. Colorful and informative radio features about Switzerland, its destinations, interesting people, politics, culture, and even the two Bobs, SwitzerlandInSound.com, where English language radio from Switzerland lives on.
Well, the sound you hear is that of a train. I'm on one of the intercity express trains between the city of Bern and the town of Brieg in southern Switzerland. If you look on the map of Switzerland along the way, you'll see the Lötschberg Tunnel. This is a long tunnel which allows trains to pass through, and it's the shortest route or connection point between the cantons or states of Bern and Valais. This is very important because this is a major north-south route. It's used by tourists by the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands every year to get from north to south, especially during the summertime. And in the winter, it's very important for people going to some of Switzerland's most famous ski resorts. But there's a little village just on the north side of the Lötschberg Tunnel. It's called Kandersteg. This is where a lot of people drive their cars to pull them up on flat cars, special flat cars that bring them through the tunnel, and then they continue their drive on the other side in Canton Valley. A lot of people just know this little village as a place to drive through, but we're going to get off and find out that there's more to it than just a rail station.
Nächster Halt, Kandersteg.
Prochain arrêt, Kandersteg.
Next stop, Kandersteg.
Now let's pick up this discussion at the tourist office where we'll meet Doris Waldflue.
And here we are with Doris Waldflue. Welcome to Switzerland in Sound. And we picked a beautiful day to be up here. We want to show that there's something more to Kandersteg than just a rail station, which is a nice one too, incidentally, and got a very good restaurant in it. But in any case, right here at the tourist office, in the window, you have some exhibits which I think point the way to the history and tradition of Kandersteg. For example, the old vintage bear trap binding wooden skis, and there's also the classic mountaineer's pickaxe. This is not just window dressing, this is the tradition and history of Kandersteg, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is. We have a lot of possibilities to use this ice pick and also the skis, and now they have not so old-fashioned ones, they have very new ones, and especially ice pick is very, very popular because we have now the center of waterfall climbing around here.
That's a new one, you have to explain that.
Because from summer we have a lot of rocks around here, you have waterfalls in the summer, and there in winter when it's cold they get frozen, and there it is very, very popular now to go on ice climbing.
Are they ever going to stop inventing these new sports? Every time I think they've run out of ideas, they come with something new.
I think it's very important for all young chaps and also older ones to always to do exercises with new sports.
Well, let's continue walking here through the village, and it's peaceful and quiet because although you can easily access Kandersteg by car, I mean the road connections are fabulous because of this very important link, the Lötschberg Tunnel. But here in the village itself, it's rather quiet. You don't find much traffic. This is not a loud glitter resort by any means.
No, it isn't at all. It is really a quiet place because we have no traffic through the village. It's only the local traffic which is in Kandersteg.
Okay. I said that we want to show why people should stay here and stop at Kandersteg. What would you bring as the main arguments?
In summer, it is really the very big choice you have on hiking tours. You can go over to every edge of Kandersteg. You have a pass which takes you to another village.
I'm thinking of the cable car up to the Gemmi Pass, which
right.
You can hike right over. It's a fairly easy walk and down into Leukerbad in Canton Valley, the great famous spa down there.
Yes.
And even come back the same day if you want.
Yes, it's no problem at all. And they also offers you round tickets, which includes cable cars and bus and train. And so you have just an easy walk of 3 hours, and you can go to bath in a hot spring and you will be back the same day. It's very easy. There are also a lot of other possibilities like Lötschen Pass or the Hotörli, which is near the Blümlis Alp. We can go on 2-3 foot passes over to Adelboden that I mentioned.
These are all names, well-known names in the Oberland. And also up there you have the Örschenensee, the Örschenen Lake, and that's a beautiful walk. If you want to do it the easy way, you can do it by chairlift, I think. But I think a lot of people do enjoy the hike up there.
Oh yes, they do. Or they take the chairlift up and then they walk towards the Örschenensee, which is one of our beautiful spots in the summer to visit.
You see a lot of families going up there, incidentally,
yes.
With children.
Yes, they are. They have also a children's playground and they have places where they can lit a fire and do their own
picnicking.
Food there. Yes. And then after the walk to the lake, they walk down to Kandersteg, I think. That's a good day trip.
I understand you are paragliding too for the more daring.
Yes, you can ask for a passenger's flight. Everybody does it.
Going back to that subject of climbing again, you mentioned this new idea of frozen waterfall climbing. That's a real specialty. But also the classic climbing. There's even a well-established climbing school here in Kandersteg.
We have the Mountaineer School, which does a lot of tours. We have in Üschinental, that is quite an area where you have 6-7 routes together where you can practice in every degree you like to. And we have also for if the weather's not so nice in the ice skating hall. We have a wall which you can practice.
The summer, I think, is probably marked by everything that people would do in an alpine setting, and this is a beautiful alpine setting. It's the valley here, it's the Kander Valley, and we have mountains all around. But you don't get claustrophobic. It isn't that close. You can walk around the village in all directions, and I think there are walks in every direction. Hiking, walking, this must be the sport number one in the summer.
It really is the sport number one. But then we have also a very nice swimming pool, an outdoor swimming pool.
A very substantial one, you see it from the train.
Yeah, because it is heated every day on 26 degrees.
That's very pleasant.
And
that's a centigrade, of course, not Fahrenheit.
Right. And people like to do that after their hikes, and I think that's a very good thing also.
Not to forget, the winter period, you are a destination for all seasons, and because of the topography here, you have incredible cross-country mileage, don't you? You can go in all directions here and never stop, practically.
Cross-country is really the famous thing here in Kandersteg. We have down in Kandersteg 50 kilometers of different slopes, classic style and skating style. Then at Öschinen and Sundbühl, there are also two, they both have 8 kilometers of trails. And then for skiing, alpine skiing, it's very nice, familiar skiing. It's easy skiing. You can go with your children, and if they already know a little bit about, you can leave them and you stay in the restaurant and you say, in an hour we will meet each other, and it's no problem to find yourself. And we have also the Toboggan Run, which is a small one in the Öschiwald, and there is a large one, a fast and funny sledge run from Lake Öschinen down to Kandersteg. The snowshoe walks are also popular.
Yeah, they're getting popular, aren't they?
And therefore we say it is really a resort for holiday winter sports and not only for skiing.
And one of the classic winter sports, which you've had for many years here, that's curling. And one of the famous, probably the most famous son of the village, is Adolf Ogi, who is a great sportsman in his own right, a former Swiss president, and he was, of course, one of the members of the Swiss government for many years, a very popular figure, and if you do cross country or any of the winter sports, especially, I know he's a winter sports fan, you might very well meet him on one of the pistes.
Right, when he's here in Kandersteg, he will be every morning doing first his trainings walking and then skiing and cross country as well. We also have a road, a little street, which is named Adolf Ogi Street. It crosses nearby the Catholic Church.
If you would like to use Kandersteg as a base of operations, it's perfect, logistically speaking, because of the rail station. You can go south, you can go north, you can go almost anywhere and come back here to call this home.
We have a lot of people who stay here for basic, and they go out every day nearly. They go to Bern, to Thun, to Interlaken, all this, to watch all these famous mountains. They go to the south side.
Bern is an hour. What is Interlaken? 45 minutes.
45.
Brieg is 40 minutes or half, maybe 45 minutes.
And every hour you have a train to both directions. It's very good to reach and come back tonight.
Thanks very much, Doris. I look forward to coming back to Kandersteg.
Thank
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
The spring of 2011 has so far been sunny and unusually dry. This has led to complaints by many farmers who are not accustomed to having to water their crops artificially. But fortunately for them, as well as crop insurers, there was some rain in the past few days, just enough to take the edge off the problem. On the other hand, Switzerland's asparagus farmers have had a bumper harvest this year, thanks to the very same early sun and higher temperatures. Spring is traditionally asparagus season, which figures prominently on restaurant menus. Over the long Easter holiday, our family got together several times for various events, including an excursion into the French-speaking Jura area near the border with France. Actually, the canton of Jura used to belong to Bern, but became its own canton back in 1979 after a long separatist campaign which was mostly, but not always, peaceful. Because of the Jura region, part of which voted to remain with Bern, the canton of Bern was and still is officially bilingual in German and French. The gateway to Bern's French-speaking area is the town of Biel in German, or Bienne in French. The town, which is the home of a large part of the Swiss watch industry, is about 60% German-speaking and 40% French-speaking. For North Americans, it would be roughly the equivalent of Montreal. If you stop someone to ask questions in German, the chances are they'll answer you in French, although both linguistic groups know each other's language. In reality, though, it's usually the German speakers who accommodate the French speakers. But as you leave the town and drive into the Jura Mountains, the language suddenly becomes 100% French. The Jura is one of Switzerland's last areas unspoiled by heavy development. The population is sparse, and there are large expanses of untouched nature. The Jura is famous for its watch and clockmaking, as well as its equestrian tradition. In fact, this is the venue for Switzerland's biggest horse show, which also attracts visitors from other countries. As you continue west, you come to the River Doubs, D-O-U-B-S. This is the frontier between Switzerland and France, which is largely unguarded. Today, people go back and forth as though the border didn't exist, which was not always the case prior to the movement for European integration. People who grow up in large countries often find it fascinating how countries in Europe can be separated by some seemingly illogical dividing line whose significance is obscured by history. In some places I know, Switzerland is separated by another country by a stream or a forest, and you can cross the border without even knowing it. One outstanding example of this is the so-called three-country corner in Basel. It's a marker in the Rhine River where Switzerland, France, and Germany come together. By walking around this rocket-like monument, you pass through all three countries. Back in the Jura, we sat at a beautiful isolated lake in the wilderness. On the way home, we stopped for a drink at a roadside cafe. We heard lots of German being spoken by the tourists, but all the ordering was done in French. Approaching Biel Bienne, the road signs became bilingual again, until we passed through the town and everything reverted to German. All of this took place a mere 1.25 hours from the Emmental, which is about as traditionally German-Swiss as it gets. But each of Switzerland's four linguistic groups considers itself just as Swiss as the other. This is the great strength of the Swiss nation and culture. 30 minutes from where I'm writing this, they already speak French. We're only a good hour from France and Germany, and 1.5 hours from Italy. The convergence of some of Europe's most important languages and cultures is one of the things that makes Switzerland such a fascinating place. This is truly a unique part of Europe and the world.
If you want more information about Switzerland in Sound, check them out online at www.switzerlandinsound.com.